Okay, after an extended summer vacation, we're in tough halacha test. Okay, halacha test. Hamagid koydim shahei. If you kasher on Erev Pesach before chametz becomes aser, yachal hagid biyachad klirishin klisheni with kelim shabol davim wood. You'll add a kasher klirishin and a klisheni and kelim would have a small bli in them. In the chayshus, and there's nothing wrong. And the most sticks in gam kein imago kasher klirishin chamim. So it's not a problem if you kasher the same one part of the kli two times, meaning you kasher half the kli at a time, so there's a certain overlap, and one part of the kli gets kashered twice, that's also not a problem. Okay, so before I explain what's going on over here, I have to just say that the Mishnah Berurah points out that really the first halacha on Tefillin and Beis is all about this and about 10 other things. It's a long halacha over there, and the Mishnah Berurah says nothing over here, basically. He says, go look over there and you'll see everything that there is. But I'm going to talk about one part, one angle of it, which is negated to both, but we might as well do it here. Okay. This din over here, by doing a klirishin, klisheni, comes from, it seems to be coming out of no place, and it comes from as follows. There's a major question, probably the prime question in Hagolah's Kehle, the Taisus is Kasha, which is, when you Kasha a Kli, when you do Hagolah, the bliyas come out of the Kli into the water. So what in the world are you doing when you kasher? The bliyas go into the water, and the bliyas will turn around and go right back into the kli. So what's the point of doing hagolas kelim? You're going to take the bliyah out. If you do libun, you're going to burn the bliyah up. It's not going to come back. But if you draw the bliyah out of the wall, what stops the bliyah from just going right back in? Okay, that's probably the most basic question you have to know about hagolas kelim. And there's two main answers to that question. Okay, there's the two main answers that we follow are, either you have to wait, you can't kasher until the kli is any b'nyamri. So like this, when the bliyah comes out, it'll be lafkam into the water. That's one main answer. The other answer is that you have to kasher, there has to be enough water to be mevatel any bliyah is coming out. So let's say I'm kasher on the fork. The fork has only how much bliyah can have, only as big as the fork is. I use so much water that the bliyah is coming out of the fork will be buckled into the water. So then the water is kosher. The water is kosher, it can't make the fork chafe it. Okay, those are the two main answers, which is what we hold the halacha.
Places where?
In Chulin. I think it's on Kuvches. Okay, now there are many other answers to this kasha. The Rishonim have many other answers.
Really? Any other?
Yes, three or four other answers. Okay, we're doing one today. Okay, Tafnun Beis Halach Aleph is all the other answers. Okay, that's what Tafnun Beis Halach Aleph is. This then is talking about one of the other answers, which is, the other answer is that we have a rule in Melicha that while something is being poilet, it can't be belayer. Things can only go in one direction at a time, in or out, but they can't go both directions at the same time. So Tosfos says maybe the answer is that while the bli is going out of the kli, it can't go back in. While it's being sucked out of the kli, it goes out, and during that time it can't go back in. Which means you could kasher a kli as soon as it became treif, but what you're going to have to do is when the kli stops giving out tam, got to pull it right out of the hagol water. You can stick it in. It's going to give out plita for 3 minutes. When those 3 minutes are up, you got to get it right out, because else it's going to start turning around and reabsorbing. So if you time your kashering just right, you're able to kasher. That's how you're able to kasher. Please make such a suggestion that that's what it is. Okay. And as you know, it's in line with this Chumas Arayv I said to you a bunch of times, which says that it's like a physical thing. You could watch the bleeds coming out. So you could watch the bleeds coming out, and when the bleeds are finished coming out, then the court says you would pull it out. And it really comes from a Gemara. The Gemara asks whether a certain kli is balei or not, and the Gemara says, we see that it has bleeds coming out of it. And to them, bleeds were a reality that they saw. And so Tosfos says, you leave it in the kli. When the bleeds finish coming out, then you would pull it out.
But you never witnessed that.
Okay, no, we tried. Okay, we're going to get back to this point. I'm putting this in your head. Just hold it a second. We're going to come back to it. According to this answer, now we come back to our data. According to this answer, if I have a kli that's a klirishin and a klisheni, a fork that was a belayer as a klisheni, and another fork that was, and a spoon that was belayer as a klirishin, I can't kash them at the same time. That's how the Rishonim say, I can't kash them at the same time because they can take a different amount of time for the plita to come out. In fact, let's say the klisheni will take 30 seconds for the plita to come out. and the Kli Rishon is going to take 2 minutes for the blinis to come out. Well, how can I put them in together when they're going to be for different amounts of time? What's going to happen is...
I got this machine before.
I don't know why no one thought of that. I thought of it. I don't know why not. But if I fit them in together, one, if the 30 seconds, the Kli Sheni will be finished being pilot, and let's say 10 seconds later, we'll stop being Balea. And then the Kli Rishon is still going to be out of time. So you can't...
Why did the Kli Sheni finish quicker?
Because it has less clear to get out. There's less in there.
Is that the Varzak Klishen?
Or, however you want to describe it, you want to say
it's a weaker...
It's a weaker, whatever you want to call it. However you want to talk about this mythical Blia, it's smaller, it's less, not in this deeply, whatever you want, words you want to use, take less to come out. It's going to take 30 seconds for the Klishen to give out its time. It's going to take 2 minutes for the Klishen to give it its time. So during that time, the Klishen is going to start absorbing from the Klishen. So... according to this Pshat and Tosfos, you would not be allowed to kasher a Kli Sheni with a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, aside from what David said, that why don't you just pull that earlier, I don't know, there's another thing. No one seems to say that you should be choshish that one has more belief than the other. Maybe this is what you mean. Maybe one Kli Rishon has this much belief, has 2 inches of bleah, and this cleavage has 3 inches of bleah.
Two
cleavages, maybe once you have
to bleah. You only put one zayt of chad, and you take another thing that has 10 zayt of chad.
Right, correct. So I guess it's a learning more like you're saying, which is like how deeply in does it go, and that all cleavages will give out all their bleahs at the same amount of time, regardless of how much bleah they happen to have absorbed. Okay. Okay, now.
Who says this? I did start meet with who says it?
This is Tosfos.
Tosfos also says
yes.
There's a third answer in Tosfos.
I told you, there's many answers, many possible answers to Tosfos. Tosfos brings these three, okay, but there are other reasons to give other answers. We're going to get Tosfos and Beis Aleph is all those other answers.
Two answers.
Okay, so now, according, we don't pass them like this answer. Okay, and that's what this din is telling us, that there's no restriction. You can do a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni at the same time, and there's three possible nafkaminas to this din. Three things that this din would make you do. First of all, you wouldn't be allowed, according to Tosfos, you have to leave the kli in for just the right amount of time, and you can't leave it in extra. You can't leave it in too long, because or else it'll start reabsorbing. Second, you wouldn't be able to kasher a different kli at the same time, a kli rishon and a kli sheni. Mm-hmm. And third, is that you couldn't kasher a kli twice. But the Rambam says at the end, if I kasher a kli, if I take this board, and I want to kasher it, and I stuck it into the pot, so if I wanted to do first this half, and I'm going to turn it over and do the other half, well, obviously there's going to be an overlap. You know what I'm saying? Instead of the first, I'm going to go till here. So in that overlap, I'm going to be kashering that part twice. So according to Tosfos, you couldn't do that. Because once I kashered one part, if I stick it back into the water, it's going to be belaya from the other part of from this part is being put on, this will be belaya. So we don't hold that goal. Then that's what the Mechaber and the Rambam say, that you're allowed to kasher Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni together, you know, like a kasher, even the same part of a kli twice, it's all okay, because we don't hold like this touch.
Hold on, we have a way out of it. Even they would be messing with what we do.
You think, if you do a kli tzeni b'nyomai, so then you have no problem. Excuse me, I thought of that, I'm not sure what the answer is. That's not how we say it, because you should know, there's a different question. The Bi'al Lacha in Tafkin Bey says, he says, why does the Mechaber say, only if you magel koidim shohei, meaning only when chametz heter and this and that. If you be magel after shohei, it should be mutter also. Because we don't hold like this, these answers to the Tosfos. Or as you're saying, because it's ain't been yom anyhow. Like, we're going to wait till it's ain't been yom anyhow to kasher. And the Bi'al Lacha is not sure. But you do see from what he says that he's assuming we like don't hold like this territory at all.
What's the kasher? Ain't been yom still also.
Ain't it been Yomer? What do you mean? Still
awesome?
No. So that's what it means, Koidim Shohei, because what they're going to say is, right, at Shohei, Chometz becomes Osir, but you could still kasher until Pesach starts. And Cholomoy, you're not allowed to, because Chometz is Osir B'mashu.
Yeah.
Once Pesach starts, Chometz is Osir B'mashu.
Because
Osir B'mashu, you can't kasher. But if it's from Shohei until Pesach comes, Chometz is Osir, but it's not B'mashu yet, so you could still kasher. You could still do Hagol's Kalim. On Erev Pesach in the afternoon. You could do it. Okay. So all this we're talking about is if we don't hold on this teretz, but most people don't know that in Tafkin Beis, the Magen Avraham says, and the Bi'al and the Mishnah Berurah brings it, that the minhag is that if you kasher on Erev Pesach after Shohei, meaning from Shohei until Pesach starts, you should be machmir for the Shita. And you should be machmir and do what this shita says, and that the bleeders might go out and come back in. Okay?
And do what?
that you should not, whatever it says in this din, I thought Tosfos says that the bleed goes out, and once it goes out, it could turn around and come back in.
Right.
Once it's finished going out, it could go back in. You should be machmir for that cheetah. You should be machmir for that cheetah. Okay, so now, that's what the Magen Avraham says. He says you should be machmir on Erev Pesach for that cheetah. Now, let's think about it. There's three nafkaminas to the cheetah. One is, you have to only leave it in for a certain amount of time. Okay, now, that's impossible. Because we don't see anything.
No.
You could say, if the Magen Avraham saw it, or the Rashba saw it, or the Tosfos saw it, the bleed is coming out, so he could say, I'm going to leave it in only for a certain amount of time. I'm going to try to be machmir for that cheetah. But we can't do that. If I start to focus, how long should I leave it in for? I don't see any bleed. How am I going to leave it in for just a round amount of time? So it's not possible for us to be machmir in that way. So now I have a question. Do you think that us, sitting here in 2007, should be machmir for the other parts of this din? Meaning, another part of this din was you can't do a kli rishon and a kli sheni together. Another part of it is you can't kasher a kli twice. You can't do part of a kli two times. So should we be machmir for that cheetah? The Magen Avraham says, between shahei and the end of the day, you should be machmir for that cheetah. Should I do that? Should I say, don't kasher a kli rishon and a kli sheni together? I say, well, the Magen Avraham says, you should be machmir for it. Or should I say, it's like silly. What am I going to do? I'm going to say, only put two kli rishon by itself. Don't do two kli rishons together. And I'm going to do it, and I'm going to leave it in for 3 minutes. Well, maybe it only has, according to Shita, it can only be in for 2 minutes. What, maybe, and how, it seems a little bit being closer myself to say, I'm going to be mocked for the Shita, and not put the clear issue with the cliche, but at the same time, I know that I'm not doing what that Shita says. The Shita says, leave it in for just the right amount of time. I know I'm not doing that. I know I'm for sure not, I'm failing on that side, because I have no way to judge that. So, does it make sense that a person should be machmir and say, don't put a kli rishon in a kli sheni, or don't do a kli, one part of a kli two times, when I know I'm wasting my time in here. I think about it. If I did, I say, don't cast this kli two times. Right, but he's saying, and even so you should be machmir to the shita. Even if it's ain't a binyan, you should still be machmir and not do a kli rishon and a kli sheni together. So I'm going to say this, don't put in the kli halfway like this, and then halfway like that, because there's going to be overlap.
Well, why should you be machmir when it's ain't a binyan?
I don't know. I don't understand that. So that was his question. I don't know what the answer to that is. What do you be machmir on if it's already ain't a binyan anyhow?
Mm-hmm.
But would there be a seichel to say, don't do it half and half, but instead, let's say it's the big pot, I stick the whole thing into the big pot. I'm going to leave it with just as long. I'm not going to be any smarter. I'm going to leave it because I don't know what I'm doing. So, just a question. I don't think that anyone's machmir since Magen Avraham. It's not very common to kasher anyhow. On Erev Pesach, Chet v'Chatzos, it's not such a common thing. I mean, it's mutter, but it's not such a common thing. But I've never heard of someone being machmir on this thing. And maybe because of this, because the shita that you're being machmir for, it's not something that we can do. We can do some of the sort of the official way that you're supposed to be machmir on it, but everybody knows good and well that even if you mock it on it, you will not be yotze what he says. You can't do what this Tosfos says, even if you try. And you can't do it fully. Okay. Now, till now we're talking about if there's a maximum amount of time you should kasher. According to this Tosfos, you can't kasher for longer than a certain amount of time. If you kasher for too long, then the bleed starts coming back in. So you have to stop at a certain time. What about the opposite? Is there a minimum
right.
talent you have to
catch? We don't know. No one ever gives any time.
Okay, so that's what I want to talk about that for a second.
Okay.
So in the din, it says there's no minimum. The bleeds go out immediately. It's like an instant thing. The bleeds go right out. Okay, that's how it talks about it. However, Rodolsky always says that it's hard to believe that I stick a kli in and I dunk it into the water, and in 1 second, the bleeds are coming out. Well, it doesn't appear to us that the water even had a chance to affect the kli in the sense of the heat of it. We don't see that it had any effect, that it penetrated the kli by making it hot. So it's hard to believe that the bli, it did its job for getting out bleas if you put it in for such a short amount of time. And he understands that when it says it's instant, that means it's instant, assuming that it's hot. That we don't even see the all that we see of Hagol is that the water penetrates the kli and makes it hot. If we didn't even see that, he doesn't think you did a hagol. Okay?
Assuming the kli becomes hot.
But he says, no, if the kli that you kasher didn't become hot, then you affect. Okay, if it became hot, you affected it. So you could say you did a hagol. But to say that you just dunk it in the water for a fraction of a second, it's so in and out so quickly that it doesn't even get hot. He's hard to believe that that's true. And in fact, Shulchan Aruch says the same thing. He says, in this bin, he says, you should kasher for a certain amount, I've got the words that he uses, just for a short amount of time. You shouldn't just do it instantly. Leave it a little bit to stay in there. Okay, he doesn't give a shear. He doesn't tell you how much that little bit is. He doesn't say 10 seconds, or he doesn't give a shear. And Rabbi Belsky's hagdara of it is that it's got to be an amount of time that the heat is penetrating the kli, and it gets hot. Okay, so that means is if you're in, we talked about this once before, in a cast iron pot, in this huge, heavy, very thick metal, if you put it into the water, immediately the water cools down because it's so much metal. So what you would do is you would leave it there until the water reboiled. Okay, so then that's like a way of judging if the water already came back to a boil, it's already overcome the coldness of the kli, and it's penetrated and used to yakov. In plants, usually this is not an issue, because usually in a plant, when you kasher, you're heating up the water in the kli that you kasher. You have a big kettle, and you fill it up with water, and you bring it to a boil. So it gets hot together. The kli and the thing become hot together. And also, industrial equipment is usually very thin. So you run into equipment, it's very easy to get it hot. It's not something that usually takes time. But, of course, we talked about this also before. If you have something like a thick piston, or you have a heavy piece of equipment that you dunk into a kettle, then you have to give it time to get hot. You can't kasher a kli. You can't kasher it just by running water through it for 10 seconds that the kli should walk out cold when you finish with it. Okay? We had other problems with that. We had another problem with that is that if you run the water through so quickly, it doesn't turn into a kli rishon. That's a separate problem. Okay? Here I'm not talking about whether it became a kli rishon. I'm talking about just that if the heat didn't even penetrate it, it's hard to believe that you did a hakol. Okay? And one last thing is, this halacha test, if you look at it just in the Shulchan Aruch, appears to be just at a place, just like just plopped in there, just in the middle of the place. And you could even make guesses that maybe it's connected to halacha hey and halacha vav, but really, just from the order of it, just to explain to you the seder of what's going on over here, is that the Torah says a lot more about halacha test than the Shulchan Aruch does. What it says in the Torah is, you have to kasher, really it's a continuation from Halacha Vav, which is, really you have to kasher even, he says, you have to kasher a kli, even if it has the tiniest amount of bliya. That's what we saw. So even if it has the tiny amount of bliya, you have to kasher it. For example, if you have a kli rishon and a kli sheni, you have to kasher it. And then he continues on, I'm skipping something, he says something else, and he continues on, he says, and even if it's a kli, you only have a chashash that chametz went into it, which is Halacha Yud, that's Halacha Yud, that even has only a chashash that chametz into it, then you have to kasher it. And in the middle, the part that I skipped is, and he says, then he talks about this thing as well, what happens now that I told you, you have to kasher kalim, even if you have a tiny amount of bliya, can you kasher those kalim together with the kalim that have a lot of bliya? He talks about this question. Now that I told you that those need kashering, what would you do if you have two kalim to kasher at the same time? And to that, he says whatever he says. So the machaber is just pulling out that middle part. Okay, he's pulling out that middle part that you understand that you have to kasher even if it has a small bliya, but and you're allowed to kasher them at the same time, a small bliya and a large bliya. And then halacha yud is a continuation of the Torah, really, which is, don't forget you have to kasher even kalim that have a small bliya. That halacha yud is going to be something about that. Okay, thank you.